Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihudah, darul hadithi wal athar, bimadinat Philadelphia, fil wilayatil muttahidatil amrikiyah, presents to you a translation of the blessed series, Silsilatul Huda wal Nur, number 695, of the Allamatul Imam, Muhaddithul Asr, Abu Abdul Rahman, Muhammad Nasruddin, Ibn Nuh al-Najati, rahimahullahu rahmatan wasi'ah, bearing the title, The Refutation of the Habashis. We ask Allah al-Azim to benefit by it.
حيثنا بعض الأحباب تلاميذ عبد الله الحبشي قاموا بمخاطبة بعض نساء هذا البلد عن طريق الفطرة يخاطبوهم كمثال يقول لهم من خلق المكان فيجيب النساء الله فيقول هذا الحبشي وهل يجوز أن الله هو خالق المكان أن يكون داخل هذا المكان فتجيب المرأة طبعا لا فيقول لها إذن الله يعني لا يحده شيء لا هو في الأعلى ولا في الأسفل ولا للأمام ولا للخلف ولا على اليمين ولا اليسار وكذلك سائر الصفات يقول بأن اليد المتعارف عليها هي الجارحة التي يعني بين البشر وهذا محال أن يكون لخالق البشر وهو رب العباد أفيدون جزاكم الله خير.
So the brother who commenced the discourse started with the basmala, then said, O our Shaykh, some of the Ahbash, plural of Habashi, that is the Habashi, from the pupils of Abdullah al-Habashi, took to the addressing of some of the women of this country in the way of fitra, in this context, natural reasoning. They address them, for example, they say, who created al-makan, literally the place, that is the concept of being in a location. So the women, they answer, Allah. So then the Habashi, he says, so, is it possible that Allah will be the creator of this makan, that he will be inside this makan, literally place, and in the realm of their false reasoning, the concept of location? So the woman answers, of course not. Then he says to her, therefore, Allah is not embounded by anything, meaning He is not up, nor down, nor in front, nor in back, nor on the right, nor on the left. Then, in the same way, the rest of the attributes. He says, the hand that is known is that limb which is among mankind, and that is impossible to be for the creator of the mankind, Him being the Lord of the servants. Benefit us, and may Allah reward you with good.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار.
Then the Shaykh rahimahullah started with the khutbah al-hajjah, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to start all of his discourses with, the translation being, indeed all the praises for Allah, we praise Him and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the iniquities of our own selves and the evils of our wicked deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there will be none to lead him astray. And whomsoever Allah misguides because of deviance that is already in his heart, there will be no guider for him. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared. That is, have taqwa and do not die except as Muslims. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul and from it created its mate. and from them too created many men and women, and fear Allah in whom you ask your mutual rights, and cut not the relations of the wombs. Indeed Allah is ever an all-watcher over you. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah and say a word that is always upright. He will rectify for you your deeds and forgive for you your sins, and whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed achieved a great success. It proceeds then that the best speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the worst of affairs are newly invented matters. For indeed every newly invented matter is a bid'ah, innovation, and every bid'ah is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire.
قبل أن أشرع في الإجابة عن هذا السؤال، إني أطمئن المسلمين جميعا الحاضرين منهم والغائبين، الرجال منهم والنساء، بأن الله تبارك وتعالى منزه عن كل مكان. ذلك لأن المكان حينما يطلق فإنما يقصد به ما كان عدما ثم خلقه الله عز وجل فجعله مكانا لمثل هذه المخلوقات الشتى من إنس وجن وملائكة. ولكن هذه الكلمة التي تلقى من أولئك الناس وهم معلومون عند أهل العلم بأنهم يحيون سنة سيئة من علم الكلام القائم على العقل، وليس كان هذا العقل عقلا موحدا بين جميع الناس، بين المسلمين منهم والكافرين، بين الصالحين من المسلمين والصالحين، ليس أن هذا العقل كان عقلا موحدا حتى يصح لكل عاقل أن يرجع في الحكم إليه.
Then he said رحمه الله, before I begin in answering this question, then indeed I reassure all of the Muslims, those that are present from them and those that are absent, the men from them and the women from them, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far removed from every makan, that is mortal location. That is because al-makan, when it is applied, then indeed what is meant by it is what was nothingness, then Allah created it, Azza wa Jal, in turn making it a place for the likes of these various creations, from mankind and the jinn and the angels. However, this word that is thrusted from those people, and they are known with the people of knowledge that they are revising an evil sunnah from ilm al-kalam, that is theological rhetoric or philosophy that is built upon the aql, the intellect, and would that this intellect was a unified intellect, unanimous between all the people, between the Muslims from them and the kafirs, between the righteous of them and the iniquitous. Would that this intellect was a unified intellect, so that it would be authentic for every person of intellect to return with regard to the ruling to it.
Amma والعقول مختلفة أشد الاختلاف، ولذلك كان من الحماقة بمكان عظيم أن يحكم هؤلاء المنتمون إلى الإسلام بإخلاص أو بغير إخلاص فحسابهم على الله. كان لو كان العقل موحدا كان لهم نوع من العذر أن يحكموا عقولهم. أما والعقول أولا مختلفة بين كما قلنا ولا أعيد التفصيل بين صالح وطالح. والآن أقول فرقا آخر، عقل عالم يختلف كل الاختلاف عن عقل جاهل، ولا أقول عقل عالم بالشرع، وإنما أقول عقل عالم بأي علم يختلف كل الاختلاف عن عقل آخر ليس بعالم ذاك العلم الذي عقله الرجل الأول.
But indeed the intellects are varying to the limit of which varying occurs, and for this it was from the stupidity of this enormous affair that they refer for judgment those people who are affiliated with Islam with ikhlas, sincerity, or other than ikhlas, then indeed their reckoning if with Allah is with Allah. If the intellect was one, then they would have had some sort of excuse for seeking judgment from their intellect. As for the intellect being firstly varying between, as we said, and we will not repeat the details, between the righteous and the iniquitous. And now I say another difference. The scholarly intellect, that is of an alim, is different in every way than something can be different from a jahil, ignorant intellect. And I don't say an intellect that is an alim of the shara', legislation, but rather I say to mean an intellect that is an alim in any knowledge. It is different in every way that something can be different from another intellect that is not an alim, that is a knower of that knowledge that the first man's intellect understood.
فمثلاً العاقل الطبيب لا يمكن أن يشاركه في عقله وفي علمه من لم يكن مشاركا له في طبه والعكس بالعكس تماما من كان عالما مثلا بالفيزياء أو الكيمياء لا يمكن أن يشاركه من كان عالما بالطب وهكذا نقول في نهاية المطاف لا يمكن أن يكون العاقل العالم بالكتاب والسنة كذاك العاقل الجاهل بالكتاب والسنة والأمر أهم من هذا التقسيم وهذا التفصيل العاقل العالم بالكتاب والسنة وعلى منهج السلف الصالح لا يمكن أن يكون عقله كعقل ذاك الرجل الذي يتكئ على عقله في فهم الكتاب والسنة ولا يرجع في فهمه إلى ما كان عليه السلف الصالح.
So for instance, the intellectual doctor, it is not possible that a person shares with him his intelligence and his knowledge, he who is not a contemporary with him in his practice of medicine. And the opposite is perfectly understood by its opposite. Whoever is an alim in physics or chemistry, it is not possible that he can be a contemporary of him who is an alim in medicine. And like this, we say in the end of the matter, it is not possible for an intelligent alim of the book and the sunnah, like the intelligent person ignorant of the book and the sunnah. And the affair is more important than this division and detailed explanation. The intelligent alim of the book and the sunnah, and upon the manhaj of the pious predecessors, it is not possible that his intellect will be like that man who depends on his intellect in understanding the book and the sunnah and doesn't return with regards to his understanding to what the pious predecessors were upon.
فهنا إذن في نهاية هذا التقسيم عالمان للكتاب والسنة لكن أحدهما يعتمد في فهمه للكتاب والسنة على الآثار السلفية التي تعود أولا إلى أصحاب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الأولين ثم من اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين هذا الذي يعتمد على الكتاب والسنة وعلى هذا المنهج السلفي يختلف عقله كل الاختلاف عن ذاك الرجل الآخر الذي يعتمد على الكتاب والسنة ولكن يعتمد على فهمه إياهما وليس على فهم السلف لهما.
So here then, at the end of this division, are two alims of the book and the sunnah. However, one of them relies in his understanding of the book and the sunnah upon the Salafi narration, that is the narrations of the Salaf, these that go back firstly to the first companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then those that follow them in good until the Day of Judgment. This, the one that relies on the book and the sunnah, and upon this Salafi manhaj, his intellect varies in every way that something can vary from that other man that relies upon the book and the sunnah, however he relies upon his understanding of the two and not upon the understanding of the Salaf of it.
هؤلاء الناس من علماء الكلام المحدثين أو أولئك العلماء من علماء الكلام القدامى كلهم يحكمون عقولهم ليس عقلهم كان معتمدا فقط على الكتاب والسنة، وليس كالفريق الأول الذي يعتمد على الكتاب والسنة وعلى منهج السلف الصالح. لا أدري إذا كان هذا المكان يتطلب مني وقفة أرجو أن تكون قصيرة للتفريق بين الرجلين، الأول الذي يعتمد على الكتاب والسنة ومنهج السلف الصالح، والآخر الذي يعتمد على الكتاب والسنة دون أن يلوي رأسه وعقله وفهمه إلى ما كان عليه سلفنا الصالح.
These people from the new scholars of the rhetoric and the old scholars of the rhetoric, they all make their intellects the judge. Would that their intellects was dependent only on the book and the sunnah. And he is not like the first group that depends on the book and the sunnah and upon the minhaj of the pious predecessors. I don't know if this situation requests from me a stance. I hope that it will be short in differing between the two men, the first that depends upon the book and the sunnah and the minhaj of the Salaf as-Salih, and the other that relies upon the book and the sunnah without turning his head and his intellect and his understanding to what our pious predecessors were upon.
لعل هذا لا يحتاج إلى توضيح، أم يبدو أن الأمر بحاجة إلى شيء من التوضيح؟ نعم هو كذلك في ظنك؟
لا يحتاج.
إذا كان هذا التفريق واضحا في أذان إخواننا الحاضرين وأخواتنا الحاضرين الغائبين، إذا كان هذا واضحا فأقول هذه فلسفة نعرفها من أخدم شنشنا، نعرفها من أخدم حينما يعتمدون على الكلام، ولا أقول على العقل بعد ذلك التفصيل، وإنما على عقلهم فقط. يريدون أن ينزهوا الله عز وجل عن المكان وهو منزه عن المكان بحكم قول الله عز وجل ليس كمثله شيء ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء.
Hopefully this doesn't need elucidation, or maybe it seems that the affair is in need of some elucidation. So the brother answered, according to what I think, nay. Then the sheikh said, according to what you think, nay. Okay, it doesn't need. Then he said, okay, if this division is clear in the minds of our brothers that are present and our sisters that are present and absent, if this is clear, then I say this is a philosophy. We know it from the guy named Akhzam. A practice, we know it from the guy named Akhzam. When they depend on rhetoric, and I don't say upon the intellect after that preceding explanation, but rather I say upon their intellect only, they want to make Allah Azza wa Jal far removed from al-makan, that is location, and he's already far removed from al-makan by the ruling of the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there is nothing like unto him. And also, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءٍ, and they will never encompass anything of his knowledge except that which he wills.
فالله عز وجل كما نعلم جميعا على اختلاف الفرق الإسلامية كان الله ولا شيء معه، لم يكن ثمة زمان ولا مكان، ثم خلق الله عز وجل المكان والزمان. فلذلك فلا شك ولا ريب أن الله عز وجل ليس في مكان، ولكن الذي يجب الانتباه له أن تلك الكلمة الحبشية إذا صحت هذه النسبة يتبين لنا بهذه الكلمة الموجزة أنها كلمة حق أريد بها باطل. أي قولهم إن المكان مخلوق ولا يعقل أن يكون الله عز وجل حالا في مخلوق، هذا كلام صحيح، لكن هي كلمة حق أريد بها باطل. ما هو الباطل الذي يراد بهذه الكلمة؟ يريدون أن يعطلوا الله عز وجل عن صفاته وعن أسمائه تبارك وتعالى المصرح بها في القرآن وفي السنة الصحيحة.
So Allah عز وجل, as we all know, despite the varying Islamic groups, there was Allah and there was nothing with him. There was not present a concept of time or place. Then Allah Azza wa Jal created al-makan, place, and al-zaman, time. So for this, then there is no doubt and no uncertainty that Allah is not in a makan, confined place. However, what is incumbent to pay attention to is that Habashi statement, if this affiliation is authentic, it is made clear to us by this summarized piece that it is a true statement which falsehood is desired by it. That is, they're saying that al-makan is created and it is not fathomed that Allah Azza wa Jal takes place in the creation. This speech is correct. However, it is a true statement in which falsehood is desired by it. What is the falsehood that is desired by this statement? They want to make Allah Azza wa Jal free from his attributes and from his names that have been clearly mentioned in the Qur'an and in the authentic Sunnah.
فنحن نقول معهم لأن الله عز وجل ليس في مكان, ولكن هل يقولون معنا كما قال الله عز وجل في القرآن الرحمن على العرش استوى؟ هل يقولون معنا الآية الكريمة إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه؟ هل يقولون معنا كما قال ربنا تعرج الملائكة والروح إليه في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة؟ هل يقولون الجواب مع الأسف لا.
So we say with them that Allah Azza wa Jal is not in a makan, the mortal location. However, do they say with us, as Allah Azza wa Jal has said in the Quran, الرحمن على العرش استوى, الرحمن upon the throne he rose over in a manner that befits his majesty. Do they say with us the noble ayah, إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه, to him ascends the goodly words and the righteous deeds exalt them? Do they say with us, as our Lord has said, تعرج الملائكة والروح إليه في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة, the angels and the ruh, the spirit, ascend to him in a day the measure whereof is 50,000 years. Do they say this? The answer, unfortunately, is no.
إذن تلك كلمة حق أريد بها باطل. والآن سيتضح له لكم ولكل من قد يكون تسربت إليهم أو إليهن شيء من شبه أولئك الأحباش. سنقول إن الله عز وجل قد وصف في هذه الآيات وفي غيرها وفي أحاديث كثيرة وكثيرة جدا أن له صفة العلو, أن له تبارك وتعالى صفة العلو. فلا جرم أن المصلي حينما يسجد يقول سبحان ربي الأعلى, وأن من أدب التلاوة في قيام الليل في صلاة الليل إذا قرأ الإمام سبح اسم ربك الأعلى أن يقول المقتدون من ورائه سبحان ربي الأعلى, ونحو ذلك من نصوص كثيرة في الكتاب والسنة قاطعة الدلالة على أن لله عز وجل صفة العلو على المخلوقات كلها.
So that is a true statement in which falsehood is desired by it. And now it will be made clear to you and to everyone, man or woman, that something of the false arguments of the Habashis may have creeped towards them. So we say Verily Allah Azza wa Jal has indeed described in these ayahs and in other than them, and in many ahadith, and very many, that for Him is the attributes of ulu, highness or elevation, that for Him tabarak wa ta'ala is the attribute of ulu. So there is no doubt that the one praying, when he makes prostration, he says, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, that is far removed is my Lord from all imperfections, the Most High. And that from the etiquette of recitation in the standing of the night, that is in the prayer of the night, if the Imam reads, Sabbih isma Rabbika al-A'la, glorify the name of your Lord, the Most High, that those praying behind him say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, that is, far removed is my Lord from all imperfections, the Most High. And the likes of that from the many texts in the book and in the Sunnah, absolute in its proof that for Allah Azza wa Jal is the attribute of ulu, highness, over all of the creation.
هل هم يقولون مع قولهم إن الله ليس في مكان أن الله عز وجل على العرش استوى؟ لا يقولون بذلك. والسبب يعود إلى أمرين اثنين، والأمر كما يقال أحلاهما مر. إما أن يكون الأمر هذا يعود إلى انحراف في الفكر والعقل، بل وإلى نقص في العقل والفهم، وإما أن يكون القصد الهدم للإسلام من أقوى جوانبه، ألا وهو العقيدة المتعلقة بالله تبارك وتعالى. وكما علمتم أحلاهما مر، سواء كان قولهم هذا بأن ينكروا ما صرح الله عز وجل في تلك الآيات والنصوص ما ذكرنا منها وما لم نذكر بأن لله صفة العلو، إنكارهم لهذه الصفة إما أن يكون نقصا في العقل والفهم والعلم، وإما أن يكون كيدا للإسلام والمسلمين، فأحلاهما مر.
Do they say with their saying that Allah is not in a makan, mortal location, that Allah Azza wa Jal is upon His throne, He rose over it in a manner befitting His glory? They don't say that, and the reason returns to two matters, and the affair is as it said, the sweetest of the two is bitter. Either this matter is that it returns to deviance in thinking and in intellect, even more so to a deficiency in the intellect and understanding, or the aim is the destruction of Al-Islam from the most strongest of its aspects. Indeed, it is the aqidah, belief, that is held in regards to Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and as you've known, the sweetest of the two is bitter. Whether this, their statement, is that they repudiate what Allah Azza wa Jal stated clearly in those ayat and texts that we mentioned from them, and what we have not mentioned, that for Allah is the attribute of ulu, highness, their repudiation of this attribute, either it will be a deficiency in intellect and understanding and knowledge, or it will be a plot against Al-Islam and the Muslims, then the sweetest of the two is bitter.
نحن سنقول الآن الله عز وجل ليس في مكان خلقه بعد أن كان عدما، هذه حقيقة لا شك ولا ريب فيها، لكن هل الله عز وجل فوق المخلوقات كلها وهو ليس في مكان؟ لا تلازم، وهنا يظهر جهل هؤلاء أو كيدهم، لا تلازم إطلاقا بين إثبات صفة العلو لله عز وجل على المخلوقات كلها وبين أن يكون هو في مكان، لأن المكان حينما يطلق إنما يراد به شيئا كان مسبوقا بالعدم ثم خلقه الله عز وجل.
We will say right now, Allah Azza wa Jal is not in a makan, place, that He created it after which it was nothing. This is a reality, there is no doubt and no uncertainty in it. However, that Allah Azza wa Jal is above all of the creations, and he is not in a makan, there is no inseparableness between the two. And here the ignorance of those people is manifested, or their machination. There is not at all an inseparable connection between the attributes of ulu for Allah Azza wa Jal upon all of the creation, and between him being in a makan, that is place. Because al-makan, when it is stated generally, then indeed what is meant by it is something that was preceded. Then indeed what is meant by it is something that was preceded by adam, that is being nothing, then Allah Azza wa Jal created it.
إذن هؤلاء الذين يبدأون الكلام بالفلسفة الكلامية، المكان مخلوق أم ليس بمخلوق؟ نعم هو مخلوق. هل يليق بالله عز وجل أن يكون في مكان خلقه؟ الجواب لا يليق. إذن كيف يقال إن الله في مكان؟ نقول لا أحد من المسلمين يقول إن الله في مكان إلا المنحرفين عن الكتاب والسنة. هناك طائفتان اثنتان، طائفة تثبت المكان لله، ولعلكم تسمعون هذا الإثبات من ألسنة من ينتمون إلى أهل السنة والجماعة من بين أظهرنا، لا نذهب بكم بعيدا عنا. فأحدنا في بعض المجالس طالما سمع بأذنيه قائلا من المسلمين وليسوا من الأحباشيين، طالما سمعناهم يقولون الله في كل مكان، الله موجود في كل الوجود.
So then those that begin with this philosophical rhetoric, is al-makan the concept of location created or not created? Yes, it is created. Is it befitting for Allah Azza wa Jal that he is in a makan that he created? The answer is that no, it is not befitting. So how can it be said that Allah is in a makan? We say there is no one from the Muslims that says indeed Allah is in a makan, a place, a mortal location, except those that are deviant from the book and the sunnah. There are two groups. One group that affirms a makan for Allah. Maybe you hear this affirmation from the tongues of those that affiliate themselves to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, from amongst our own midst. We won't take you far from us. So one of us, he said to someone sitting what he heard with his two ears, a sayer from the Muslims and not from the Ahbashiyin, that is the Habashis, he said what he heard them saying, Allah is in every makan, that is everywhere. Allah is present in every presence.
هذه عقيدة ليست من عقائد المسلمين إطلاقا، وهذا إنما هو عقيدة طائفة من طائفتين انحرفتا عن العقيدة الصحيحة التي ذكرناها آنفا من المقطوع بها في القرآن وفي السنة، وهي أن الله عز وجل على العرش استوى. هم المعتزلة قديما وحديثا، المعتزلة القدامى يصرحون بأن الله في كل مكان، ومن هؤلاء الطوائف التي لا تعرف اليوم باسم المعتزلة لكنهم يعرفون باسم آخر، وهم طائفة من الخوارج الذين نعرف جميعا شيئا من تاريخهم ومن انحرافهم في كثير من العقائد الصحيحة. تلك الطائفة الموجودة اليوم هم المعروفون بالإباضية.
This عقيدة or belief is not at all from the عقيدة of the Muslims, and this indeed is the عقيدة of the two groups that deviated from the authentic عقيدة that we mentioned previously, from that which is absolute from the book and the sunnah, and it is that Allah Azza wa Jal is upon the throne. He rules over it in a way that suits His Majesty. They are the Mu'tazila of old and of new. The Mu'tazila of old, they clearly state that Allah is in every makan. And from those sects that are not known these days by the name Mu'tazila, however, they are known by another name. And they are a sect from the Khawarij those that we all know something from their history and from their deviance in many aspects of the authentic belief. That sect that is present today, they are known as Al-Ibadiyya.
الإباضية الآن يتبنون عقيدة المعتزلة أن الله عز وجل في كل مكان. لا كلام لنا الآن مع هؤلاء لأنهم قد عرفتم بأنهم مبطلون حينما يحشرون الله عز وجل في كل مكان. لكن مع الأسف يجب أن تتنبهوا وأن تتذكروا أن هؤلاء الأحباش وأمثالهم حينما يلتقون مع بعض المسلمين أو المسلمات ويشككونهم في عقيدتهم الصحيحة وهي أن الله عز وجل على العرش استوى كيف لا كيف كما تعلمون وهذا له بحث آخر فبديل من بدل أن يعالجوا ما نسمعه في مجالس أهل السنة والجماعة كما يقولون اليوم إن الله موجود في كل مكان بدل أن يعالجوا هذا الخطأ يعالجون عقيدة صحيحة باسم إنكار هذا الخطأ.
The Ibadiyya these days represent the Aqidah of the Mu'tazila that Allah Azza wa Jal is in every مكان, that is everywhere. There is no talk for us right now about those people because you have known that they are falsehood makers when they say Allah Azza wa Jal is everywhere. However, unfortunately, it is incumbent that you pay attention and remember that those Ahbash, Habashis, and the likes of them, when they meet some of the Muslim males or females, and they make them doubt about their authentic Aqidah, and that is that Allah Azza wa Jal is upon His throne, He rose over it in a manner that suits His Majesty. How? There is no how, as you know, and this is another discussion. So rather than remedying what we hear in the sittings of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as they say today, that Allah is present in every makan, that is everywhere, rather than remedying this error, they remedy an authentic aqidah in the name of repudiating this error. So the Mu'tazila from old, and those that were upon their way from the Ibadiyya of modern times, they clearly state that Allah is in every makan. And this is heresy. There is not after it anything more heretical. And maybe we will dictate some of the details of this heresy. As for the other group, then they are the ones that say indeed Allah is not in a makan, that is location, at all. Whether this location is a location of the transitory world, that is what was nothing, then Allah created it, or it was an abstract place. All of us know, as I mentioned to you before, that Allah Azza wa Jal was, and there wasn't existing zaman, or time, or makan, location. So was He in a makan, location? If the intention behind a location, a created location, then far removed is He from this. He was, and there was nothing with Him at all. However, He was. So He was in a makan, location. If the intention behind a makan is a created makan, then far removed is He from this. As for if He was in this nothingness, that is, of nothing being present, that he made afterwards and made a part of it a creation by Him saying be and it is, so Allah was and He is. From this viewpoint, He remains as He was. That is, He is not in a created location. This is very clear.
الطائفة الأخرى ينكرون أن يكون الله عز وجل كما كان في الأزل ليس في مكان ولذلك فهم لا يثبتون له صفة العلوم على مخلوقات كلها. هؤلاء لهم قولة من أفضل ما يقوله كافر لا أقول مسلم. هؤلاء الفريق الثاني الذين يخالفون المعتزلة في ضلالهم. عرفتم المعتزلة يقولون إن الله في كل مكان، هذا ضلال. واضح ولا يحتاج لبيان إن شاء الله على الأقل الآن. أولئك الذين يقولون الله ليس في مكان كما تقول المعتزلة وكما تقول الأحباش، هؤلاء لا يقولون إن الله عز وجل له صفة العلو على المخلوقات كلها، لا يعلم كيفية ذلك إلا الله عز وجل. ماذا يقولون؟
So the other sect, they repudiate the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal was as He was before time, that is not in a makan. And for that, they indeed don't affirm for Him the attributes of ulu, highness, upon all of the creations. Those people, they have a saying, from the most false thing that even a kafir would say, I don't say Muslim. That second sect that differs with the Mu'tazila and their heresy. You have known that the Mu'tazila, they say that Allah is in every makan, everywhere. This is heresy, clear. And it doesn't need clarification, inshallah, at least right now. Those people, they say that Allah is not in a makan, as the Mu'tazila say. And the Ahbash, the Habashis say. Those don't say that for Allah Azza wa Jal is the attribute of ulu upon all the creations. No one knows the how of that except Allah Azza wa Jal. What do they say?
يقولون اسمعوا الآن وانتبهوا وهذه عقيدة الأحباش، فأرجو من تمكنوا من الوسوسة إليهم أن يعرفوا حصيلة وسوستهم، ألا وهي جحد الخالق، جحد الخالق والمصير إلى الإلحاد المطلق كما هو مذهب الشيوعيين والدهريين والزنادقة والملاحدة الذين يقولون لا شيء إلا المادة. اسمعوا الآن ماذا يصفون ربهم. الله تبارك وتعالى يقولون لا فوق ولا تحت ولا يمين ولا يسار ولا أمام ولا خلف، لا داخل العالم ولا خارجه. نحن اتفقنا معهم المكان مخلوق وهو العالم، فالله ليس داخل العالم، ولكن ما بالهم يقولون أيضا ليس خارج العالم. هذا هو الإلحاد وهذا هو الجحد المطلق. زاد بعضهم إغراقا في التعطيل وفي النفي، فقالوا بعد أن قالوا لا داخل العالم ولا خارجه، قالوا لا متصلا به ولا منفصلا عنه. هذا هو الجحد، هذا هو الذي يقوله الدهريون جميعا.
They say, listen now and pay attention. And this is the aqidah of the Ahbash. And I hope for the ones that have been able to overcome the whispers of them to know the yield of their whisperings. Indeed, it is the denial of the Creator. The denial of the Creator and the final abode being to absolute atheism, as is the madhab of the communists and the dahriyin, the materialists, and the zanadiqa, plural of zindiq, one who enters Islam to destroy it from within with heresies, and the malahida, literally those far inclined away from the truth, being closer to kufr. Those that say there is nothing except what is materially tangible. Listen now. They describe their Lord, Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. They say, He is not up, He is not down, He is not right, He is not left, He is not in front, He is not in back, not inside the universe and not outside of it. Here we have agreed with them. Al-Makan, location, is created. And it is the Alim, the Alam, or world. So Allah is not in the Alam, that is the world. However, what is the matter with them that they say also He is not outside of the Alam, the world? This is Ilhad, atheism. And this is absolute denial. Some of them added in the way of drowning in denial and negation, that is of Allah. So they said, after having said not inside the universe and not outside of it, they said not connected to it and not separate from it. This is jahd, denial, total denial. This is what all of the Dahliyun, the materialists, they say.
ويعجبني بهذه المناسبة مناظرة وقعت بين شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وجزاه عن الإسلام والمسلمين خيرا وبين بعض علماء الكلام من أمثال الأحباش هؤلاء كانوا قد شكوا شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية إلى حاكم البلد يومئذ في دمشق لأنه يقول كذا وكذا وكذا ويجسم ويتهمونه بما ليس فيه وطلبوا عقد مجلس مناظرة معه فاستجاب الأمير لذلك ودعا شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية والمخالفين له فجلسوا أمام الأمير فسمع الأمير دعوى هؤلاء المشايخ وسمع من شيخ الإسلام الآيات والأحاديث التي تثبت لله عز وجل صفة العلو على خلقه مع التنزيه التام كما هو مصرح به في القرآن ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير.
And it pleases me in this connection, a debate that took place between Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and may Allah reward him good on behalf of al-Islam and the Muslims, and between some of the scholars of rhetoric from the likes of those Ahbash. They once complained of Ibn Taymiyyah to the ruler of the country at that time in Damascus, because he says such and such and such and such and such and such, and he makes such theme, that is, ascribes the aspects of a mortal body to Allah. And they were suspecting him of what was not in him. So he requested the fixing of a sitting for a debate. Then the Amir, he answered that request, and he invited Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and those that were opposing him. So they sat in front of the Amir. So the Amir heard the claims of those scholars, and he heard from Shaykh al-Islam the ayat and the ahadith that affirmed for Allah Azza wa Jal the attributes of ulu upon His creation with complete de-anthropomorphism, that is, making Allah far removed from imperfections, as is clearly stated in the Qur'an, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ.
فَلَمَّا سَمِعَ كَلَامَ الشَّيْخِ مِنْ جِهَةٍ وَكَلَامَ أُولَئِكَ الْعُلَمَاءِ مِنْ جِهَةٍ أُخْرَى قال وهذا يدل على عقل وذكاء ممتاز قال هؤلاء قوم أضاعوا ربهم هذه كلمة حق أناس يقولون عن ربهم باختصار ما هي داعي نعيد عليكم الكليشة المصدية الآن فتذكر حسبكم أن تتذكروا الحصيلة لا داخل العالم ولا خارجه لا متصلا به ولا منفصلا عنه صدق ذلك الأمير حينما قال عن هؤلاء الأقوام هؤلاء قوم أضاعوا ربهم لأننا إذا قلنا لأفصح رجل في اللغة العربية صف لنا المعدوم الذي لا وجود له لما استطاع أن يصفه بأكثر مما يصف هؤلاء معبودهم ربهم المعدوم الذي ليس داخل العالم ولا خارجه فهل الله كذلك حاشا لله كان الله ولا شيء معه.
So when he heard the talk of the Shaykh from one aspect and the talk of those scholars from the other view, he said, and this points to superb intellect and intelligence, he said, those are people that have wasted their Lord. This is a true statement. People that say about their Lord, in summary, and there's no need to repeat to you the trouble that has been echoed and mentioned, it is enough for you to remember the yield of it. Not in the alam and not outside of it. Not connected to it and not separate from it. That Amir had spoken the truth when he said to those people, those are a people that have wasted their Lord. Because if we said to the most eloquent man in the Arabic language, describe to us a ma'doom, that is something that doesn't have an existence, he would not be able to define it with more than what those people describe their ma'bud, that is their object of worship and their Lord. The ma'doom, that is the non-existent, is that which is not in the alam, world, or outside of it. So is Allah like that? Far removed is He from that. Allah was and there was nothing else with Him.
لذلك قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية في الحقيقة يصف الفريقين المجسمة الذين يشبهون الله ببعض مخلوقاته هؤلاء الذين يتستر من ورائهم الأحباش هؤلاء فينكرون أن يكون لله مثلا صفة اليد التي ذكرها في القرآن والصفات الأخرى التي قد نتعرض لذكر شيء منها قريبا إن شاء الله. وصف هؤلاء ابن تيمية المجسمة بوصف دقيق جدا كما أنه وصف المعطلة وقرن الطائفتين وجمعهم في وصف يجمعهم الضلال. قال المجسم يعبد صنما, المجسم يعبد صنما والمعطل يعبد عدما, هذا هو الحق. المجسم يعبد صنما, الله ليس جسما حاشا لله, ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. أما المعطل فيعبد عدما, كيف؟ لا داخل العالم ولا خارج العالم, لا متصلا به ولا منفصلا عنه.
For that, Ibn Taymiyyah in actuality describes the two groups, the mujassima, the anthropomorphous, those that make similarity of Allah with some of His creations, those that cover from behind them, the ahbash. So they repudiate the fact of there being for Allah, for instance, the attribute of the hand, which He mentioned in the Quran, and other attributes that we might expose ourselves to its meaning soon, insha'Allah. Ibn Taymiyyah described those people, the mujassima, the anthropomorphists, those that say Allah has a jism, a body, with a very specific description, such as he described the mu'attila, the deniers, and he made contrast between the two groups and gathered them together with a description that is characterized by al-dalal. He said, al-mujassimu ya'budu sanaman wal-mu'attilu ya'budu adaman. The mujassim, the one that says Allah has a jism or body, he worships an idol. And the mu'attil, that is the denier, he worships nothingness. This is the truth. The mujassim, he worships an idol. Allah is not a jism, a body. Far removed is Allah from that. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like unto Him, and He is السَّمِيعُ, the all-hearing, and الْبَصِيرُ, the all-seeing. As for the مُعَطِّلِ, then he worships nothing. How? How is that? They say, not inside the world and not outside it, not connected to it and not separate from it.
هذه هي عقيدة المعتزلة وعلماء الكلام, ومنهم الأشاعرة اليوم, ومنهم بعض الماتريدية قديما, وقد يكونون اليوم عامة الماتريدية, حيث لا يقولون بقولة الحق التي قالها بعض الماتريدية القدامى الذين تمسكوا بهدي السلف الصالح. فقال قائلهم بحق, ورب العرش فوق العرش لكن بلا وصف التمكن واتصاله, أي إن الله عز وجل كما قال هو الغني عن العالمين. فالله عز وجل استوى على العرش, أي استوى على المخلوقات كلها, ليس لأنه بحاجة إليها, وإنما ليكون مهيمنا وقاهرا لكل مخلوقاته.
This is the aqeedah of the Mu'tazila and the scholars of rhetoric, and from them the Ash'ariyah of today, and from them some of the Maturidiyah of old, and it might be of today, the Maturidiyah in general, in that they don't say the statement of truth that some of the Maturidiyah of old used to say, those that held on to the guidance of the pious predecessors. So their sayer said, بِحَقٍ وَرَبُّ الْعَرْشِ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ لَكِنْ بِلَا وَصْفِ التَّمَكُّنِ وَالْإِتِّصَالِ. in truth by the Lord of the throne. Above the throne he is, however, without the description of mastery or close connection. That is Allah Azza wa Jal, as he said, he is not in need of the alameen, that is the mankind, jinn and all that exists. So Allah Azza wa Jal made istiwa, that is rising over his throne in a manner that suits his majesty, of all of the creations, not because he is in need of it, but rather so that he can be a muhaymin, a high witness and a compeller for all of his creation.
يأتي هنا أن نقول لهؤلاء الأحباش وأمثالهم من المنحرفين عن عقيدة السلف الصالح أن الله عز وجل فوق العرش استعلى بنص القرآن الكريم وتفسير السلف الصالح، ها أنتم تقولون إن الله عز وجل ليس في مكان، فهل يجوز للمسلم أن يقول أين الله؟ هنا ينكشف البرقع عن هؤلاء المتسترين بتنزيه الله عز وجل عن المكان المخلوق، لكننا نسألهم الله عز وجل في السماء، علما بأن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم هو الذي سن لنا نحن معشر المسلمين المتبعين للكتاب والسنة وعلى منهج السلف الصالح، هو الذي سن لنا أن نسأل من نشك في إيمانه بالله عز وجل أين الله، وبالتالي سن لنا الجواب أن يكون هو الله في السماء.
It comes here that we say to those Ahbash, Habashis, and the likes of them from the deviants away from the Aqidah of the pious predecessors, that Allah Azza wa Jal is above his throne. He made himself high as stated in the noble text and the tafsir explanation of the venerated forefathers. Here it is you say that Allah Azza wa Jal is not in a makan, a location. So is it permissible for a Muslim to say, where is Allah? Here, the burqa, that is the full covering worn by women, will be unveiled from those people that are covered up by the descending of Allah Azza wa Jal from the created location. However, we ask them, is it not Allah Azza wa Jal? Is not Allah Azza wa Jal fi sama, that is above the heavens? Knowing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the one that made it sunnah for us, O assembly of Muslims that follow the book and the sunnah and upon the manhaj of the pious predecessors, he is the one that made it sunnah for us to ask he whom we doubt about his iman in Allah, where is Allah? And naturally following thus, he made sunnah for us the answer that it should be Allahu fis sama, Allah is above the heavens.
لكن هذا لابد أنه بحاجة إلى شيء من البيان، أي حينما نقول الله في السماء، وهذا سأقوم به إن شاء الله بعد أن أذكر إخواننا وأخواتنا السامعات بحديث أخرجه الأئمة في كتبهم، واتفق علماء الحديث وعلماء التفسير وفقهاء الأئمة الأربعة وغيرهم على صحة الحديث التالي، وقد أخرجه من أهل الحديث الإمام مسلم في صحيحه، ومن قبله الإمام مالك في موطئه، ومن بعده الإمام أحمد في مسنده، وغيرهم كثير وكثير جدا ممن تبعوهم بإحسان. ذلك الحديث هو ما جاء بالسند الصحيح عن معاوية بن الحكم السلمي رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه صلى يوما وراء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، فعطس رجل بجانبه فقال له وهو يصلي يرحمك الله، فنظروا إليه بأطراف أعينهم مسكتين له، لكنه يبدو أنه كان حديث عهد بالإسلام، حديث عهد بمعرفة الأحكام المتعلقة بالصلاة، ولذلك فقد ضاق بهم ذرعا حينما رآهم ينظرون إليه نظرة تسكيت له، فقال رافعا صوته: وثكل أمياه، ما بالكم تنظرون إلي؟ فأخذوا ضربا على أفخاذهم، أيضا يتابعونه بالإسكات. فحينئذ كأنه تبين أنه على خطأ، فذكر من هجه عليه السلام ولطفه معه. قال: فلما قضى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الصلاة أقبل إلي، فوالله ما قهرني ولا كهرني ولا ضربني. ولا شتمني، وإنما قال لي إن هذه الصلاة لا يصلح فيها شيء من كلام الناس، إنما هي تسبيح وتكبير وتحميد. لما وجد هذا الرجل هذا اللطف وكل شيء من معدنه جميل، فهو الذي وصفه رب العالمين في القرآن الكريم: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم.
However, this it is a must that it is in need of a little clarification. That is, when we say Allah who fi as-sama, that is above the heaven. And this I will take to insha'Allah after I remind our brothers and our sisters that are listening of the hadith that the imams have narrated in their books, and the ulama of hadith and the ulama of tafsir and the fuqaha and the four imams and other than them have agreed upon the authenticity of the following hadith. And from the people of hadith are those that have narrated it, al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, and from before him Imam Malik in his Muwatta, and after him Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and other than them, many and very many from those who follow them in good. That hadith is what has come by the authentic chain of narration on the authority of Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that he prayed one day behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so a man next to him sneezed, so he said to him while he was praying, Ya Hamakallah. So they looked at him from the corners of their eyes, trying to make him be quiet. However, it seemed that he was new to al-Islam and new to the knowledge of rulings that are connected to the Salah. And for that, he was indeed unable to bear when he saw them looking at him, a look indicating for him to be quiet. Then he said, raising his voice, Wa thukla ummaya, woe for the heaviness that my mother bears. What is the matter with you that you look at me? So they took a strike at their ideologies, and they also responded to him in the way requesting him to be quiet. So then it was as if it was made clear to him that he was upon error. Then he mentioned something from his guidance alayhi salam and his gentleness with him. He said, then when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished the salah, he turned towards me, so by Allah he did not compel me, nor did he force me, nor did he hit me, nor did he verbally abuse me, but rather he said to me, indeed this salah contains nothing from the speech of the people. Indeed this salah, nothing from the speech of the people is befitting to be said in it. Verily it is made up of tasbih, that is saying subhanallah, and takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, and tahmid, praising Allah. When this man found this kindness and everything from his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's natural doing was beautiful, because he is the one whom the Lord of the worlds describes in the noble Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, and indeed you are upon noble character.
حينما وجد منه هذا اللطف في التعليم طمع أن يزداد علما بعد أن عرف أنه أخطأ في الصلاة وتكلم ولا يجوز له الكلام, فقال: يا رسول الله, إن منا أقواما يتطيرون. قال: فلا يصدنكم. قال: إن منا أقواما يأتون الكهان. قال: فلا تأتوهم. قال: إن منا أقواما يخطون بالرمل. ضرب الرمل معروف إلى اليوم على الأسف. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: قد كان نبي من الأنبياء يخط، فمن وافق خطه خطه فذاك. قال يا رسول الله: والشاهد الآن يأتي، وما مضى يحتاج إلى محاضرة بل وأكثر من محاضرة، ولكن الشاهد الآن هو ما يأتي.
When he found this gentleness in teaching, he desired to increase in knowledge after he knew that he had erred in the salah, and he spoke while speech was not permissible for him. So he said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed there is a from us people that make tatayyur, that is, use the direction of the flight of birds for good or bad omens. He said, then let not that bar you, that is, don't fall into taking those things as a means, that is, good or bad signs for travel. He then said, indeed there is from us a people that go to the Kuhan, the soothsayers. He said, then don't go to them. He said, indeed there is from us a people that draw lines in the sand. That is another form of fortune telling. The Sheikh said, explaining the striking of sand is known even today, unfortunately. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, there was indeed a prophet from the prophets of Allah that used to draw lines. So he whose line agrees with his line, then that is fine. He said, O Messenger of Allah, and the point comes right now, and what has preceded me is a lecture, on the contrary, more than a lecture. However, the point now is what comes.
قال يا رسول الله لي جارية ترعى غنما لي في أحد، فسط الذئب يوما على غنمي، وأنا رجل أغضب كما يغضب البشر، فسقطتها سطة وعلي عشق رقبة. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: هاتها. فلما جاء قال لها عليه الصلاة والسلام: أين الله؟ قالت: في السماء. قال لها: من أنا؟ قالت: أنت رسول الله. قال لسيدها: اعتقها فإنها مؤمنة، اعتقها فإنها مؤمنة. هذا الحديث اتفق علماء المسلمين على اختلاف تخصصاتهم، من علماء الحديث وهذا تخصصهم، وعلماء تفسير، وعلماء فقه، وعلماء توحيد، كلهم اتفقوا على تصحيح هذا الحديث إلا علماء الكلام الذين يركبون رؤوسهم ويرتابون أهواءهم، فهم الذين يردون هذا الحديث بعقولهم، العقول التي عرفتم أنها لا قيمة لها.
He said, O Messenger of Allah, I have a slave girl. She shepherds some sheep for me in Uhud. So one day a wolf pounced on my sheep, and I am a man, I get angry like humans get angry. So I slapped her severely, and it is upon me the freeing of a slave. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, bring her. So when she came, he said to her, alayhi salatu wasalam, where is Allah? She said, fi sama, above the heaven. He said to her, who am I? She said, you are the Messenger of Allah. He said to her master, free her because she is indeed a believer. Free her because indeed she is a believer. This hadith, the ulama of the Muslims have agreed upon it, despite the differences in their specialty, from the ulama of hadith, and this is their specialty, and the ulama of tafsir, and the ulama of fiqh, and the ulama of at-tawheed. All of them agreed upon the authenticity of this hadith, except the ulama of kalam, that is theological rhetoric, those that make their heads steer them and their desires. So they are the ones that reject this hadith with their intellect. The intellect that you have known doesn't have any value.
هذا الحديث سن لنا أنه يجوز لنا أن نسأل الأحباشيين هؤلاء وأمثالهم من أذناب المعتزلة أو الإباضية أين الله، فستراهم حيارا. والجريء منهم يقول هذا سؤال لا يجوز، وهم يجهلون أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الذي سمى هذا السؤال لأمته، فهم إذن يردون على نبيهم الذي يزعمون أنهم يؤمنون به. ثم كان الجواب من الجارية: الله كما قد لا تصدقون لكن الكتاب موجود. إن بعض العلماء في العصر الحاضر يقولون إن القول بأن الله في السماء هي عقيدة الجاهلية وليست عقيدة المسلمين، وأن هذه الكلمة إن الله في السماء هي حكاها عنهم رب العالمين في القرآن الكريم: والله كما تعلمون من سورة تبارك أأمنتم من في السماء أن يخسف بكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور، أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا فستعلمون كيف نذير.
This hadith has made sunnah for us that it is permissible for us to ask those Ahbashiyin and the likes of them from the tales of the Mu'tazila and of the Ibadiyya, where is Allah? Then you will see them in a state of confusion, and some of them come and say, this question is not permissible. And they are ignorant of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the one that made this question a sunnah for his ummah. So they in that case refute their Prophet, the one that they claim they believe in him. Then the answer from the slave girl was, Allahu fi as-sama, Allah is above the heavens. You might not believe this, however the book is present, that some ulama of the present time, they say, indeed the saying that Allah is above the heavens, it is a jahiliya aqidah, meaning it is an aqidah propounded by the pagan Arabs, and not from the aqidah of the Muslims. And that this statement that Allah is above the heavens, the Lord of the world narrated this from them, that is the people of Jahiliyyah, in the Quran. And Allah, as you know, from Surah Al-Tabarak, He said, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. Do you feel secure that he who is over the heavens will not cause the earth to sink with you, and then it should shake? أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يُرْسِلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا فَتَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. Or do you feel secure that he who is over the heavens will not send against you a violent whirlwind? Then you shall know how has been my warning.
هناك قسم آخر أقرب إلى الهدى وأبعد عن ضلال. القسم الأول الذين قالوا إن القول بأن الله في السماء هو قول الجاهلية يتأولون هذه الآية بتأويل، يقولون من في السماء يعني الملائكة، وهذا من شؤم ما يسمونه بالمجاز، إنهم يسلكون طرق المجاز لتعطيل الصفات الإلهية. يأتي هنا أحاديث كثيرة لإبطال مثل هذا التأويل، من ذلك الحديث المتداول بين الناس اليوم، ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون بل لا يفقهون ما به يتكلمون. ذلك الحديث هو: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء.
There is another type closer to guidance and further away from the misguidance of the first type. Those that said that the saying that Allah is above the heaven, it is a jahiliyyah saying, they falsely interpret this ayah with a ta'weel interpretation. They say, who is above the heavens, meaning the angels, and this is from the calamity of what they call al-majaz, that is the science of allegory or figurative speech. Indeed, they tread the path of al-majaz to make ta'atil, denial of the divine attributes. There comes here many ahadith that falsify the likes of this ta'wil, false interpretation. From that is the speech that is commonplace among the people today. However, most of the people don't know. On the contrary, they don't know about what they are talking. That hadith is, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhumu ar-Rahman, irhamu man fil ardi, yarhamukum man fis sama. The people that show mercy, Allah shows mercy on them. Show mercy on he who is in the earth, and the one who is on the heavens will show mercy on you.
ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. من في السماء هو الله. من في الأرض خلق الله من إنسان من حيوان من دواب إلى آخره. هذا الحديث لأنه يوضح المعنى المقصود من قوله تعالى في السماء فأمنتم من في السماء. وهذا الذي قلت آنفا ربما نعرج لبيان معنى في السماء لأن في من حيث الاستعمال العربي تأتي في بعض الأحيان بمعنى الظرفية وأحيانا تأتي بمعنى آخر من حروف الجر فتأتي بمعنى على. فيا ترى في هنا في هذه الآية هل هو بالمعنى المعهود أي إنها ظرف؟ الجواب لا. ومن هنا يظن علماء الكلام أنهم إذا نفوا أن يكون الله في السماء أنهم نزهوه. هم في الحقيقة نزهوه عن فهمهم الخطأ للآية.
The Sheikh رحمه الله reiterated, ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. Have mercy on he who is on the earth, and the one who is above the heavens will have mercy on you. Who is above the heavens? He is Allah, who is on the earth, the creation of Allah, from mankind, from animals, from riding beasts, and so on. This hadith, because it makes clear the intended meaning from the saying of Allah, fi sama, above the heavens, that he mentioned, then he mentioned the ayah, rahimahullah, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ, do you feel secure that he who is over the heavens? And this is what I said before. Maybe we should break down for you the clarification of the meaning of fi sama, above the heavens. Because the preposition fi, most times meaning in, comes from the viewpoint of how it is used in Arabic. Sometimes with the meaning of al-barfiyya, that is adverbial. And sometimes it comes with another meaning from the huruf al-jar, called in English the word of preposition. So it comes with the meaning ala, most times meaning on or above. So how evident fi here in this ayah is of the well-known meaning, which is that is varf, that is adverbial preposition. The answer is no. And from here, the scholars of rhetoric, they think that if they negate that Allah is above the heavens, that they have made him far removed from being likened to the creation. They have in reality made him far removed from being likened to the creation from their false understanding of the ayah.
لكن قد أنكروا أن يقولوا كما قال الله الله في السماء فجهدوا معنى أن الله في السماء أنه على السماء وذلك وفي ذلك أو في هذه الحالة يلتقي معنى هذه الآية مخسرا بالحديث السابق ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. من في الأرض ليس المقصود من كان في جوف الأرض من ديدان وحشرات وإلى آخره وإنما المعنى واضح جدا من على الأرض من تتعاملون معهم من بني جنسكم من الإنس أو مما ذلل الله لكم من الحيوانات ارحموا من على الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء أي من على السماء. حينئذ هذا التفسير الذي يوضحه هذا الحديث يلتقي تماما مع كل آيات التي ذكرنا بعضها وأحاديث أخرى أن الله عز وجل له صفة العلو.
However, they have refused to say, as Allah said, Allahu fi sama, above the heavens. So they were ignorant of the meaning of Allahu fi sama, that is, that he is ala sama, above the heavens, and in that in this circumstance, this ayah moves with us explaining the preceding hadith. Irhamu man fi al-ardi, yarhamukum man fi sama. Man fil ardi, who is fil ardi? The intent is not he who is inside the earth from worms and bugs and so on, but rather the meaning is very clear.
who is on the earth. Those who you deal with would be those who you deal with them from the sons of your race, from the humans, or what Allah subjugated for you from the animals. Have mercy on he who is على الأرض, upon the earth. Then he who is في السماء will have mercy on you. That is he who is على السماء, upon the earth. Henceforth, this tafsir explanation that we have mentioned, some of them, and other ahadith, that Allah Azza wa Jal has the attributes of ulu, that is highness, upon his creation.
أخرى أن الله عز وجل له صفة العلو. فحينما نوجه السؤال إلى هؤلاء الأحباش أو غيرهم ممن هم على شاكلتهم في ضلالهم, أين الله؟ يجب أن يكون جوابهم كما قالت الجارية, الله في السماء, لكن ليس بمفهومهم في ظرفية, لا, وإنما بالمفهوم الذي وضحه الحديث أولا وكان عليه سلفنا الصالح, ثانيا أي أن الله في السماء أي على السماء أي على العرش, لأن كل ما عليك فهو سماء. فهذه تسد الطرق كلها أمام هؤلاء الأحباش الذين يظنون أولا أنه لا يجوز أن يسأل المسلم أين الله, وثانيا يظنون أنه لا يجوز أن يقول الله في السماء بعد أن تبين لهم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو الذي سمى هذا السؤال أين الله, وهو الذي شهد لتلك الجارية بالإيمان حينما نطقت بلفظ القرآن الله في السماء.
So when we direct the question to those Ahbash, Habashis, or other than them, from those that are upon the way, upon their way in deviance, where is Allah? It is incumbent that their answer be just as the slave girl said, Allahu fi sama, Allah is above the heavens. However, not by their understanding that the fi is barfiya, that is adverbial with the meaning in, nay, but rather with the understanding that the hadith made clear, firstly, and that our righteous predecessors were upon, secondly, that is that Allah is fi sama, that is ala sama, over the heavens, that is upon the throne, because everything that is above then it is sama, heaven. So in that case all the avenues are blocked in front of those ahbash, habashis, that think firstly that it is not permissible for a Muslim to ask where is Allah, and secondly they think that it is not permissible to say Allahu fi sama. After it has been clarified for them that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the one that made this question sunnah, that is, Ayn Allah, where is Allah? And he is the one that bore witness for the fact that that slave girl had iman when she uttered with the statement of the Quran, Allahu fi sama.
Wa huna ibra la budda min an azkuraha wa hiya yatabayyan lana al farq bayn الحياة التي كان يعيشها عامة المسلمين في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى الجارية راعية الغنم, وبينما يعيشه اليوم عامة المسلمين وكثير من خاصته. لأن هذا السؤال لو وجه إلى كثير من الخاصة وفيهم بعض كبار علماء الأزهر الذي يوصف فيقال الأزهر الشريف, إذا وجه إليهم هذا السؤال أين الله لم يجيبوا بجواب الجارية. ما هذه التاريخة بين كبار العلماء في العصر الحاضر لا يجيبون عن جواب الرسول, عن سؤال الرسول عليه السلام, بينما راعية الغنم أعرف الجواب الصحيح لهذا السؤال الوجيه.
And here is a lesson. It is a must that I mention it, and it is a must that it is made clear to us the difference between the life that the general populace of the Muslims were living in the time of the Prophet ﷺ even the slave girl that was herding sheep, and between what this general populace of the Muslims live today, and many of their elites, because this question is directed to many of the elites, and in it is many of the ulama of Al-Azhar, that which is called Al-Azhar al-Sharif, that is the Honorable Azhar. If this question is directed to them, that is, Ayn Allah, where is Allah, they would not answer with the answer of the slave girl. What is this difference between the big scholars in the present time? They don't answer the question of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, while the female herder of sheep knew the correct answer to this notable question.
أقول هذا دليل أن المسلمين في العهد الأول كانوا ربوا جميعا لا فرق بين خاصتهم وعامتهم، كانوا ربوا جميعا بتربية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يتعلق على الأقل بالعقيدة التي لابد لكل مسلم أن يكون فاهما لها أولا ثم مؤمنا بها. هذه جارية كيف عرفت العقيدة الصحيحة؟ الجواب، الجارية لا نتصور أنها كانت تتمكن أن تحضر حلقات العلم التي كان يحضرها كبار أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وخاصتهم، بينما الآخرون ما كانوا يحضرون جلسات الرسول عليه السلام. إذا كان عمر الخطاب رضي الله عنه حينما بلغ حديثا من أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه ندم فقال شغلنا الصف في الأسواق، إذا كان هذا عمر فماذا نقول عن الصحابة الآخرين، وماذا نقول عن النساء، بل ماذا نقول أخيرا عن الجواري وعن رعية الغنم؟
I say this is a proof that the Muslims in the first era, they were all nurtured, there not being a difference between their elite and their common folk. They were all nurtured with the cultivation of the Prophet ﷺ in what is at least connected to al-aqidah, that every Muslim should be understanding of it firstly, then a believer in it secondly. This slave girl, how did she know of this correct aqidah? The answer, we don't visualize that she was able to be present at the circles of knowledge that most of the big companions of the Sahaba, of the Prophet ﷺ and their elite, while others, they did not used to attend the sittings of the Messenger ﷺ. If the affair of Al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when a hadith was conveyed to him from Abi Huraira رضي الله عنه, he regretted, then said, bargaining in the markets have preoccupied us. If this is Umar, then what do we say of the other Sahaba? And what do we say of the women? Even more so, what do we say lastly of the slave girls and about the female herder of sheep?
أريد من هذه التوطئة كيف فهمت هذه الجارية هذه العقيدة الصحيحة التي إلى الآن لم يفهمها بعض الخاصة من أهل العلم. إنها كانت تعيش في جو يعني موحد في التوحيد الصحيح لا مثيل له في الدنيا إطلاقا، بسبب وجود الرسول عليه السلام، بسبب وجود النور بين ظهراني أولئك الصحابة من الرجال والنساء من الخاصة والعامة. هذه الجارية تلقت هذه العقيدة من سيدها، فسيدها يسمع العقيدة الصحيحة بل والأحكام الشرعية من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ثم لا يقتصر على الاحتفاظ بها بل ينقلها إلى من هو يعوله، من ينفق عليه مادة وينفق عليه أيضا علما ومعنى.
I wanted from this preparation, how did the slave girl understand this correct aqidah that up until now, some of the elite from the people of knowledge have not understood it? Indeed, she used to live in an environment of a tawheed, singling Allah out in the uniqueness of His attributes and worship being only for Him. That is by the correct understanding of At-Tawheed. There is no comparison to it at all in the dunya because of the effort of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, because of the presence of illumination in the midst of those companions, from the men and the women, from the elite and the common folk. This slave girl received this aqidah from her master. So her master hears the correct aqidah, belief, even more so the legalistic ruling, that is fiqh, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he doesn't limit himself to preserving them. On the contrary, he transmits it to those under his care, those who he spends on them materially and spends on them also knowledge-wise and figuratively.
من هنا نعرف لماذا عرفت الجارية هذه العقيدة الصحيحة لأنها عاشت في ذلك الجو الوحيد في فهمه للتوحيد الصحيح. أما اليوم فالمسلمون يعيشون في أجواء متباينة، في عقائد متفرقة متضاربة أشد التضارب، ولذلك فلا نجاة للمسلمين في هذا الزمان إلا أن يعودوا إلى ما كان عليه السلف الصالح، وأن يحققوا في أنفسهم خبر نبيهم صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حينما قال واصفا بالفرقة النادية، قال هي التي تكون على ما أنا عليه وأصحابي، ما أنا عليه وأصحابي. أردت أن أختم الكلمة بهذا الحديث، لكني تذكرت أنه كان في جملة السؤال المطروح أيضا أن هؤلاء الأحباش ينكرون في جملة ما ينكرون اليد التي وصف الله عز وجل نفسه بها، يقولون اليد جارحة. سبحان الله.
From here we know why the slave girl knew this correct aqidah, because she lived in that unique environment in its understanding of the correct concept of at-tawheed. As for today, then the Muslims, they live in varying environments as regards aqaid, plural of aqidah, that are different and conflicting to the limit conflicting can be. And for that, there is no salvation for the Muslims in this age except that they return to what the Salaf al-Salih, pious predecessors, were upon, and that they actualize in themselves the news of their Prophet when he said, describing the Firqatul Najiyah, the safe sect, he said, it is the one that is upon what I am on and my companions. What I am upon and my companions. I wanted to finish the discourse with this hadith. However, I remembered that from the previously presented questions, that those ahbash, from among those things that they negate, is the hand, that Allah described Himself as having it. They say the yad, the hand, is an organ. The Shaykh said, Subhanallah.
وهم يتكلمون عن أنفسهم، فكيف يقولون في اليد التي ذكرها الله إنها جارحة؟ هؤلاء من أجهل الناس إن لم يكونوا من أضل الناس، ذلك لأنهم يقيسون الغائب على الشاهد، بل يقيسون غيب الغيوب وهو الله تبارك وتعالى على أنفسهم. هذا في منتهى الحماقة إن لم يكن في منتهى الضلال. نحن نجاريهم جدلا لا عقيدة، وحاشا أن نشاركهم في عقيدتهم. نقول لهم الله ذات متصف بصفات الكمال، هل تقولون معنا؟ لابد أن يقولوا معنا نعم أو يقولوا لا، فإن قالوا لا فذاك هو الذي يدل على ضلالهم ويؤكد ما هم فيه، فلا كلام لنا معهم، لأن الكلام حينئذ يكون مع الزنادقة. والمفروض الآن أننا نتكلم مع مسلمين يشهدون أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله ويصلون وإلى آخره. فإذا قالوا نحن معكم بأن الله عز وجل ذات له كل صفات الكمال. فإذا قالوا هذه الكلمة فقد تناقضوا حينما قالوا الله ذات وله صفات. وأنت أيها المتكلم لكلام علماء الكلام حينما تقول اليد جارحة، هذه جارحة بالنسبة لذاتك، فهل ذاتك كذات الله أو ذات الله كذاتك؟ ستقول حاشا لله.
So they speak of themselves, because how can they say about the hand that Allah mentioned that it is a limb or an organ? Those people are from the most ignorant of people, if not from the most misguided of people. That is because they make analogy upon the unseen by that which is seen. On the contrary, they confound the most unseen of the unseen, and he is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, upon themselves. This is in the limit of imbecility, if not in the limit of heresy. We go side by side with them in the way of arguing, not in the way of aqeedah, and may Allah forbid that we should be partners with them in their aqeedah. We say to them, Allah is the being that is described with the descriptions of perfection. Do you say with us, it is a must that they say with us, yes, or they will say no. So if they say no, then this is what will prove their misguidance and emphasize what they are upon. So there is no speech for us with them, because speech with them in that case would be speech with the Zadadiqa, plural of Zindiq, someone professing Islam outwardly but aims at destroying it from within with heretical beliefs. And what is obligatory now is that we speak with the Muslims that testify there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and they pray, and so on. So if they said, we are with you, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the being, for him are all the attributes of perfection. So if they said this statement, then indeed they would have contradicted themselves when they said, Allah is a being and he has attributes, and you, O speaker, with the rhetoric of the scholars of theoretical rhetoric, then they say the hand is an organ. This is an organ with regard to your being. So is your that being like the that of Allah, or is the that the being of Allah like your that? You will say, may Allah forbid that.
ذاته ليست كذوات، وبالتالي صفاته ليست كسائر صفات المخلوقات. إذا انتهت المشكلة يا جماعة، انتهت المشكلة. يقال في الذات ما يقال في الصفات، يقال في الصفات ما يقال في الذات، إيجابا وسلبا. الله ذات له كل صفات الكمال، ومنزه عن كل صفات النقص، ذلك قوله تعالى ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. فهو سميع وبصير، صدق الله، لكن سمعه ليس كسمعنا، بصره ليس كبصرنا. لا بد لهؤلاء المجادلين بالباطل والمتستفسرين بكلام الحق ظاهره حق وباطنه باطل، لا بد لهؤلاء أن ينكروا كل صفات الله عز وجل. لماذا؟ لأن وصف الله بهذه الصفات في الغالب فيها اشتراك لفظي ليس حقيقي معنوي.
So his that essence or being is not like the other essences, and therefore his attributes are not like the rest of the attributes of the creations. So then the problem has ended, O group of people. The problem has ended. It is said of the essence what is said regarding the attributes. It is said regarding the attributes what is said of the essence or being. Affirmatively and negatively, Allah is a being. He has all of the attributes of perfection and is far removed from all the attributes of deficiencies. That is his saying, Ta'ala, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like unto him, and he is السَّمِيعُ, the all-hearing, and الْبَصِيرُ, the all-seer. So he is السَّمِيعُ, and he is الْبَصِيرُ. Allah spoke the truth. However, his hearing is not like our hearing. His sight is not like our sight. It is a must for those who are arguing in falsehood and those that take cover under true speech its outwardness is truth and its inwardness is false. It is a must for those to repudiate all of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because the description of Allah with these attributes, most times it is a sharing of utterance, not a sharing of essential meaning.
Allah Azza wa Jal قال عن آدم فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا ووصف نفسه بأنه سميع بصير. إذا انتهى الوقت. إذا جميل إذا هذا الكلام فنقول إذا كان الله عز وجل قال وهو السميع البصير ووصى آدم عليه السلام بأنه جعله سميعا بصيرا على طريقة هؤلاء الأحباش وأمثالهم من المعطلة لا بد من أحد شيئين إما أن نقول إن الله ليس كما قال وهو السميع البصير لأنه قال في آدم فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا أو أن نقول لا هو كما وصف في نفسه لكن قوله في آدم فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا ليس كذلك فلا بد من تعطيل أحد الوصفين إما ما كان منهما متعلقا بالله عز وجل وهذا كفر وإما ما كان متعلقا بوصف الله لآدم عليه السلام لأنه جعله سميعا بصيرا إنكار أيضا هذا فهو كفر فهم دائرون ما بين كفر وكفر وذلك عاقبة من لا يتبع السلف الصالح ولذلك قيل وكل خير في اتباع من سلف وكل شر في اتباع من خلف فنوصي الحاضرين جميعا أن لا يزغوا لعلماء الكلام ولا لأذنابهم وعليهم أن يعرفوا عقيدة السلف ليكونوا إن شاء الله مهتدين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
الله عز وجل said about Adam فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا and we made him hearing and seeing. فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا, we made him hearing and seeing. And he also described himself that he is hearing and seeing. He described himself that he is hearing and seeing. So the Shaykh then asked, as the time ended, okay, we end then. So we say, if Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and he described Adam alayhi salam, that he made him hearing and seeing, so upon the way of those Ahbash, and the likes of them from the Mu'attila, the deniers, one of two things is inevitable. Either we say that Allah is not how he said, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that is, he is all hearing, all seeing, because he said of Adam, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, then we made him hearing and seeing. Or that we say, no, he is as he described himself. However, his saying regarding Adam, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, it is not like that. So there must be denial of either of the two descriptions. Either the one from them connected to Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is kufr, or what is connected to the description of Allah for Adam alayhi salam, that he made him hearing and seeing, the denial of that also is kufr, disbelief. So they are revolving between kufr, and that is the final recompense for he who did not follow the pious predecessors. And for that it was said, وكل خير في اتباع من سلف وكل شر في ابتداع من خلف. All of the good is in the following of those that have passed, and all of the bad is in the bid'ah of those that came after. So we advise all of those present not to give ear to the scholars of rhetoric, and not to their henchmen. And it is upon them to know the aqidah of the salaf, so that they can be, insha'Allah, guided ones. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
أن أهل البدع بين كل فينا يظهرون أمرا يحاولون في ظنهم أن يخفوا منار السنة, فهل نواكب أهل البدع في الرد عليهم؟ أم ما هي النصيحة منكم في مثل هذا لنا ولإخواننا في الداخل والخارج؟ وبارك الله فيكم.
الرد على أهل البدع لا يجوز إلا من كان عالما بالسنة من جهة والبدعة من جهة أخرى. لعلكم تذكرون معي حديث حذيفة بن يمان في الصحيحين قال كان الناس يسألون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن الخير وكنت أسأله عن الشر مخافة أن أقع فيه. وهذا كما قال الشاعر عرفت الشر لا للشر لكن لتوقيه ومن لا يعرف الخير من الشر يقع فيه.
The brother who asked the question then said, and it is no secret that the people of Bid'ah in every point of time manifest an affair. They try in their thought to make the light of the Sunnah secret. So should we accompany the people of Bid'ah as regards the reputation of them? Or what is the advice of you in the likes of this for us and for our brothers inside and abroad? And barakallahu feekum. The Shaykh rahimahullah answered, the reputations of the people of Bid'ah is not permissible except for he who is an alim of the Sunnah from one angle and of Bid'ah from the other angle. Perhaps you remember with me the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. In the Sahihain he said, the people used to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the good, and I used to ask him about the bad, fearing that I would fall into it. And this, as the poet said, I have known the evil, not for the sake of evil, but rather for the sake of protecting myself from it. And whoso doesn't know the good from the bad, he will fall into it.
فمن كان عالما بالخير والشر كحذيفة بن يمان وكان بالتالي في هذا الزمان عارفا في السنة فيتبعها ويحض الناس عليها وعالما بالبدعة فيجتنبها ويحذر الناس منها، هذا الشخص هو الذي يجوز له أن يجادل أهل البدعة أو المبتدعة. أما كما يفعل بعض إخواننا الذين لم يؤتوا من العلم إلا حظا قليلا ثم يدخلون في مجادلة من هم أقوى منهم علما ولو كان هذا العلم مشوبا بكثير من البدعة أو علم كلام كما قلنا آنفا، فهؤلاء ننصحهم أن ينطوا على أنفسهم وأن يعتزلوا المبتدعة وأن لا يجادلوهم، لأنهم سيتأثرون بشبهاتهم، كمثل ذاك السؤال الذي سمعتم في أول الجلسة وسمعتم الرد عليه أنهم يسخون لكل ناعق ولكل صائح فتتعلق الشبهة في ذهن السامع ثم هات حتى يتأثر له عالم يتمكن من إزالة هذه الشبهة من نفسه.
So he who is a knower of the good and the evil like Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, and he was therefore in this age a knower of the Sunnah, in turn following it, and he urges the people towards it, and a knower of Bid'ah, in turn staying away from it, and he warns the people from it, then this person is he who is the one that it is permissible for him to debate with the people of Bid'ah or the Mubtada'ah. As some of our brothers do, those who have not been given from knowledge except a small portion, and then they enter into the argumentation of he who is more stronger than him, knowledge-wise, even if this knowledge is mixed with a lot of bid'ah or theoretical rhetoric, as we said before, so those we advise them to have regret for themselves, and that they go away from the mubtada'ah, and not to argue with them, because they will be affected by their false arguments, like that question that you heard in the beginning of the sitting, and you heard the reputation of it, that they gift their heir to every na'iq, that is every tam, and to every sa'ih, that is one that yells. So
So the false argument gets connected to the mind of the one hearing, and then then until an alim is facilitated for him that is able to remove this false argument from himself.
لذلك تكاثرت النصوص عن سلفنا الصالح من العلماء كمالك وأحمد وغيرهم أنهم كانوا يحذرون الناس كل التحذير من الجلوس مع أهل البدع، بل وكانوا يأمرونهم بمقاطعتهم خشية أن يتسرب شيء من شبهاتهم إلى نفوسهم. فهذا أظن جواب ما سألته، والأجر للجميع إن شاء الله ما دمنا مخلصين وقاصدين أولا العلم النافع المستقى من كتاب الله ومن سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى منهج السلف الصالح أولا، ثم قاصدين أيضا أن نعمل بما تعلمنا، ثم بعد ذلك نسأل الله عز وجل أن يزيدنا وإياكم علما. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
For that, the texts have been piled up abundantly from our pious predecessors, from the ulama like Malik and Ahmed and other than them, that they used to warn the people abundantly from sitting with the people of innovation. Even more so, they used to order them to the cutting them off, fearing that something from their false arguments would take activation in their souls. So this is, I think, the answer to what you asked. And the reward is for Allah, insha'Allah, as long as we are sincere and aim at, firstly, the beneficial knowledge, that which has been drawn from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon the manhaj, the methodology of the Salaf al-Salih. Firstly, and then, after that, we ask Allah azza wa jal, aiming also to act upon what we have known. And then after that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to increase us and you in knowledge. And the Shaykh ended by saying, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Glory be to you, O Allah, and you we praise, and I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except you, and I seek your forgiveness, and I seek your repentance.